From Mothman and Nessie to the spirit that haunts your home, welcome to Bob After Dark, a podcast about legends, lore, and the supernatural. So turn your lights down and your volume up and enjoy your trip to the shadows.
Hey there, children of the night, and welcome to Bob After Dark, the show that takes you into the shadows and goes and says hello, everything that goes bump in the night. I'm your host, the most that enjoys toast, Bob, and alongside of me, as always, is my ever-wonderful, ever-vampiric, ever-cape-wearing, forever the new haircut also, my friend, my brother, my producer, Count Panic himself. Oh, hey there, Count Panic.
Oh, hey there, Bob. Yes, back here, another episode of Bob After Dark, the most thrilling paranormal podcast this side of the Little Calumet River. Dare I say bigger than that?
Bigger than the Calumet River.
The Big Calumet River, not the Little Cal River, the Big Cal River.
What about the Medium Cal River?
Is there a Medium Cal River?
That's what I'm asking you.
I don't know. And I feel like I'm kind of lurking in the, I'm looking at my image here on the screen. I feel like I'm lurking in the shadows.
That's kind of your job.
I am always lurking, a lurker.
Anywho.
But yes, happy to be back, Bob, on another episode of Bob After Dark.
What's the weekend update, Count Panic?
Oh, the weekend update, Bob. You know, I went to this little festival. A little festival in your neck of the woods called
Pierogi Fest.
And I saw Mr. Pierogi himself out there.
I heard that's a cryptid.
He was out there. Yeah, you know, you're right. It's a giant dumpling. It's kind of
half man, half dumpling.
How terrifying is that when you really think about it?
Definitely something.
Half man, half dumpling. It is kind of spooky to think about. But
did you have a good time?
I did, and Mr. Pierogi had a good time too. And I saw a lot of favorites out there. The Hulupki guy, Ms. Ponchki, the Bushas, Pierogets. They were all out there. But Bob, your home base is right there in the thick of
Pierogi
Fest.
And I wasn't
there. You weren't there.
I haven't gone the past 2 years.
But growing up, because this was the 30th anniversary, so I remember going as a kid. I'm sure you went as a kid.
Back when I was younger, it was a lot more manageable. And back then, Dad was moving. Was alive, first off, but was also moving around a lot better. Yeah. And I remember going down there and being really excited. There were really good pierogi booths. Like, that was authentic eating right there, as close as you're going to get to Warsaw and just walking down the street.
Yeah.
So we used to go a lot as a family when I was a kid, and then my dad kind of gave up when it got too crazy, hectic, busy, and it was a whole thing. But I went a lot as a kid. I went every year.
Yeah. And I got to ask you, Bob, since, you know, you are we're a walkable distance to the downtown. The parking on your block. Did you have to put the chairs? You're kind of a little bit whipped back, but do you have to put up chairs for the dibs or no?
So, growing up, I didn't live in the same place I have my entire life. I lived in like four different apartments. In Whiting, it was never an issue until this place where my current address is now. I learned after the first year of living there and driving and my own car, et cetera, just to take that weekend off of work and not move my car. My dad had a handicap placard, so he never had to worry. He'd go to work, whatever. But I learned just to, you know.
Well, you see all those homes in the communities, they put their chairs out for dibs.
It's pre-dibs, man.
But you know what, Bob? I'm going to have to do some more research on this Mr. Pierogi. I don't know what his... I don't know if you could defeat the guy. I don't know how that works. It's like the man eating gourd, I guess, so to speak, is Mr. Pierogi. But we had that going on great weather throughout the weekend, which is nice. And we talk about the summer solstice, the summer solstice has passed, but the veil being thicker again.
Yep.
Bob, the summer is still in full swing here.
Very much so. At least another month.
Yeah, at least another month. What did you do, Bob?
I was in the great state of Iowa.
So that was your reasoning.
I was freelance booked at not for speaking engagement, but freelance booked at Anime Iowa. I was there over the weekend, right over the border. As I get closer to next round of surgery, I've been traveling just a pinch, like maybe within a state range. Iowa, I was right on the border, so I was okay going there. soon you guys are going to be getting me via Zoom for a couple weeks because I'm getting my next organ removed and hopefully my last organ removed. So that was about it, Count. I was there, now I'm back. I leave tomorrow for Gen Con in Indianapolis at 4 o'clock in the morning. So
wait a second, Bob.
Yeah.
Did you just learn about this now? Or?
I never knew what time I was leaving. Sometimes it's 5, sometimes it's 6. This time it's 4 o'clock in the morning I'm going to be picked up at, so it's going to be an early start.
You have a driver, technically.
I do. I have a driver picking me up. And then you guys won't get this by then, but when I come back, I'll report how my my seminar went, because I'm hosting a seminar at Gen Con this Friday. We have 40 tickets sold, so that's pretty cool. And so I'll report that next week when I'm back in studio with you.
Did you get to explore the land of Iowa?
No, because I wasn't in there. I was like on the border. So it's not like I went deep in the state. I have been through Iowa from beginning to end in my life, but this trip, no, just kind of get in and get out.
Get in, get out. I hear there's a lot of just farmland and stuff.
It's real flat. However, the world's biggest truck stop is on 80.
Really?
Yep. That's the world's biggest truck stop. It's really cool. There's a ton of restaurants. It's a good place to stop.
Like the biggest ball of yarn.
Yes.
You've got to be careful with those tourist traps there, Bob. Well, I'm glad you had a great time in Iowa and you're traveling once again here. But man, oh man, maybe it's time to book some of those afternoon flights. 4 in the morning flights.
4 in the morning flight. The Midway? Red Eye, if they call it. Yeah, Midway.
Okay.
Anyway, Count, if this is your first time ever watching or listening to Bob After Dark, we are your weekly show where we talk about legends, lore, supernatural things that go bump in the night, lights in the sky, weird cryptid stories, and of course, Count Panic's favorite Polish food that's not pierogi.
Oh, that's a good one, Bob. Of course, I am biased toward the pierogi. Well, let's see. We got Polish sausage is a big one. We got halupki, gwumpki, whatever you want to call it, punchki, kolachki. You know what? I'm going to go with punchki.
That's a good answer.
Yeah.
That would be mine, too. Either that or the potato pancake.
Potato pancake is a classic as well. Very. How about sauerkraut?
No, not for me. No. Halushki, though.
Yeah. How about
noodles?
What's one that doesn't get enough credit around here? I don't know. Warsaw Inn, though. We should do a whole show about the Warsaw Inn.
It's a ghost now. Know the more.
Still some great places around here. But yes, lock it in for both of us. Punchki. But here's a second bonus.
Yes.
What do you got in there? Fruit or chocolate? I think I'm a sweet guy. I'll put chocolate.
I like cherries, my jam.
Cherry.
My cherry's good. Chocolate's good. Yep, yep.
All right. Olives. Atomic, then.
Yep, yep.
Banana.
Anywho, this is a show where we split the show up into two parts. First part is the weird, spooky news of the week. That's where you, the fans, and me, the Bob, go scouring the internet of the weird, the unusual, anything from cryptids and ghosts being sighted and being reported on, lights in the sky and major media attention, or advances in science that borderline on science fiction. Second part of the show is the lore of the week. That is where the big hunk of the episode is. This week, because we are not live, we're doing a podcast only, and I have to be up belligerently early for Gen Con, you guys are going to get a shortened version of Bob After Dark, but don't worry, next week I'll be right back talking your ears off. So you're ready, Count?
There you go, yeah.
I have two news stories to us this week. One was submitted to me by a fan, our old pal Norm on our RET department, sent this to me, and that's a mystery creature in Lincoln Park Pond was what is lurking in the water. This was posted to Fox 32, which is the Chicago affiliate here in Chicago, and written by Casey Cronus, Casey with a K. While wishful thinking, what some call a mysterious creature has emerged in Lincoln Park's North Pond. It's even drawing visitors who are curious about claims that it could be an alligator. However, on Friday, Chicago Animal Care and Control cracked the case. While wishful thinking may have led some to believe that the city would be getting a sequel to Chance the Snapper, officials say that it is simply a surfing turtle. This is Chicago. You never know what you're going to walk into, said Armando Tejada, public information officer with the Chicago Animal Care and Control, or the CACC. And in Lincoln Park's North Pond, you never know what may emerge from the water. The pictures we had, it looked kind of like a snout sticking out of the water. It did look huge, long body, said Tejada. Dada and the CACC officers, it was an eventful Friday. After receiving a few calls asking if he'd heard anything about an alligator in a North Pond, he rallied his team and put his boots to the ground. There's a lot of wildlife in that area, but this was big. This was like 4 or 6 feet that the witness saw, said Tiana. We walked the perimeter a couple times, kind of checking for the banks, checking the mud to see if what we were making any marks on the prints in the mud. But we didn't see anything. That's when he contacted the Chicago Herpetological Society, and they were reptile experts, he said. Within minutes, the photos were provided and were well debunked. It was actually, for the lack of a better term, it was a turtle surfing in the water, said Tejada. It was a big turtle on the end of a log, and he was kind of clamped onto it for part of the log with his front paws, and he was swimming around, and he was diving and rising out of the water. Thriving wildlife, including fish, ducks, and other small turtle that Fox 32 camera spotted within minutes of arriving to the pond on Friday. It seems the mystery creature was just a turtle having a bit of summer fun. It was something different, and it was a learning experience for the people that were with us, too, for some of the new officers that we have, said Tejada. As for the reptile hiding that rogue log, a board member with Lincoln Park Conservatory shared a video with Fox 32 showing a massive turtle that she believes caused a commotion. This month marks the 5th anniversary of Chance the Snapper moving to Florida. He was discovered in Humboldt Park Lagoon in 2019. Do you remember when that happened, Count?
I do remember that happened, yep.
I've been with Chicago Animal Care and Control for about 10 years now, and in those 10 years, I've probably seen about 4 or 5 alligators come in, he said, Tejada. Tejada explains that there have been cases where people purchase alligators as pets without realizing how large they become and release them into the wild, something that is strongly not recommended. As a precaution, Tejada said their team will be monitoring the North Pond over the next couple days, just in case. Hashtag panics take.
Yeah, you know what? This gators situation, we had that Chance the Rapper. Yeah, of course. But
Chance the Snapper.
Chance the Snapper. Not Chance the Rapper, is the actual rapper. Gators, Crocs, Bob, I don't mess with any of them. They're kind of like cryptids in their own right, aren't they? I mean, they're like from the dinosaur family.
Yes, one part chicken, one part reptile. Yes.
Not to be messed with,
No. Look, man, I had my run-in back in December. You heard that story, right?
Yeah.
I was playing disc golf, and the thing came out of the water and hissed at me.
That's crazy. Where was that at?
That was in Florida.
Yeah,
it had to be. I was down there for Holiday Matsuri, and I'm playing disc golf, and I launched a disc right on the bank of the water. I'm like, I could get it. And this local that I was playing behind comes running, being like, what are you doing? This thing comes out of the water and hisses and asked me if I got my disc back.
Did you get your disc
back?
No,
I did not.
Well, it's like all the golf. I don't get why people like golf down there. I don't get why people just do things by water. Over there.
Oh, no. And funny enough, there was animals. A sign there that said alligators, you know, habitating this water. Do not come closer. Yeah. And the guy was like, man, you're lucky not to have lost a hand.
I'm surprised you don't hear more about gator attack stories.
Because most people that are down there that are familiar with that animal know not when to FAFO. You know what I'm saying?
I saw some gator wrestling a long time ago.
I know I'm good. All right, you ready for our last news story for the evening?
Yeah, let's hear it.
So this one's a bit interesting, all right? This comes from the Far Out magazine, which is a UK, like a pop culture magazine, except like a high-class people magazine, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Jeff Goldblum once hired an exorcist to remove a ghost from his coffee table.
Okay, I'm listening.
All right, this was written by Scott Campbell here in the UK. Having turned his eccentricities into one of his biggest selling points, there probably shouldn't be many eyebrows raised at Jeff Goldblum accidentally purchasing a coffee table that turned out to be haunted. For those who believe in spirits, there's no guarantee that another worldly entity isn't just inhabiting any piece of furniture, because it's not the sort of thing that anyone can ask the person in the shop beforehand. I mean, technically they could, but it would lead to some seriously bemused and concerned looks. I've been there. I've asked that question. Stories. This being Goldblum, though, it's not even remotely out of the ordinary. Being an idiosyncrasy is kind of his thing, which has seen him remain popular for decades as he continues to lean on his own self-created absurdities. On the other hand, Laura Dern is a respected dramatic actor and one of her finest in her generation. This one's written weird, folks. And it turned out she was equally implicit. After co-starred together on the highest grossing movie ever made at the time of its release, Jurassic Park colleagues struck up a romantic relationship that lasted until 97. Goldblum began being haunted by a coffee table? Sure, that makes sense, but the Academy Award-winning powerhouse of acting dynasty? Not so much. However, their cohabitation led to the creation of the haunted coffee table, which makes things even more curious. If the table was specifically made for Goldblum and Dern upon their request, then how did it end up haunted in the first place? The spirit world contains many mysteries, and this one would require a specialist to overcome. We were together for 4 years and lived in this house, Goldblum explained in the interview. We had this table made, and she had this woman come, the shaman of some kind, who examined the whole house and went on around and said, "Well, it's mostly clean, except there's that table. Where'd you get that table? Something is not good with that table. Want me to clean it up?" Answering in the affirmative, the dinosaur fleeing duo did indeed want the nefarious presence to be cleansed from the humble piece of household furniture, and all it took was it for a shaman to perform an exorcism. Presumably, they were charged for a convenience fee, but that's beside the point. Once again, it's all too willing, he said, for his insistence for cleansing to begin. And she got under it, and we left her alone for a while, and she did something and pronounced it exorcised. And just like that, Goldblum and Dern no longer had to worry about ghosts lurking in their tableware, thanks to the timely intervention of a professional who immediately sensed that there was something so spookily wrong with the furniture that it was far dangerous to let it lie. Hashtag panic steak.
Yeah, you know what? He's an eccentric character himself, but I mean, how, you can't take these things lightly, Bob. I mean, how many times have people had a haunted furniture and whatnot? Right?
It's a popular
more common
trope.
Than you think, is it?
It's more common than you think. You are correct.
Antiquing. A lot of people go to these antique shops.
Yes, and I've been around them. I told you the story just recently where I was in that the antique mall when that child's toy started playing, dinging across the room from me, and yeah. I was by myself in there with Vix.
I don't like people are big in antiquing, but then again, you come across those things. They say mirrors are a big thing, right?
Mirrors hold energy like crazy. I would never buy a mirror from an antique store.
An antique mirror?
Never. Vix does, man. But she toys with the bad stuff. I do not.
Antique dolls?
Nope. Me? No, you know better.
Yeah, just regular dolls in general. It's just kind of terrifying. But table, I never heard about the haunted coffee table. But hey, there's a first. There's really a first for anything. Life?
Finds a way.
Finds a way.
I model a lot of my professionalism off of Jeff Goldblum. His mannerisms and stuff is very much similar to mine.
He's a cool guy.
The iconic Bob Lang pose is actually stolen right from Jeff Goldblum's pose.
Yeah.
From Jurassic Park.
People didn't put those two and two together, but that's what you think.
Some did. Some did.
Some say Jeff Goldblum stole that pose from Bob.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, what's the moral of the story here? Just don't... Maybe you could just buy it from IKEA. You know,
they,
it won't be
they said it was a brand new table, though. They just got it built.
I don't see. Then it can't be haunted, right?
It can be. Something might have already been there and just attached itself to the table.
Well, that's the thing, too. They say about like new homes. Like when new homes are being built, can they be haunted, really? Because they're newer homes, not older homes. But I guess it's really about, I mean, it's really about, there's circumstances, I guess, surrounding, right? If the spirit is attached to a person or whatnot.
Yes.
Or maybe the object, but the house itself, I don't. They're not making haunted homes, haunted houses like they used to. That's for sure.
I guess not.
No, they're not building them like they used to.
No. All right,
you
count.
You just knew it was haunted.
Well, how about this? You ready? Yeah. Since we're on a shortened episode this week, because we weren't live, and I'm just kind of condensing things, let's skip the break and jump right into the lore of the week.
The break. The break is already shortened up, but we could do.
What do you mean the break is shortened?
Oh, I mean in podcast land, it's longer. I know
that. What I'm saying is. Let's skip. Let's just not do a break.
It's
this
usually
week.
Fast in the studio here on a Tuesday night, as far as the break goes. I always
don't tell them that.
No,
we do something extraordinary during every break.
We do. I'll miss that. See, I'm going to miss that this week.
So then next week, you and I need to have a really extravagant adventure.
Right. But I'm going to miss having something to do during the break this
but
week.
We're okay.
Okay.
So let's. How about this? I could Scooby-Doo transition it. Doo-doo-doo-doo. Come on, Wayne's World.
Yeah.
Thank you, Colin.
Yeah.
This is why him and I are destined to be
we know stuff.
Partners in production.
Pop culture.
Something like that. Anywho,
no
Count
brain.
Panic,
yes.
My dear friend. Lore of the Week. I have something completely different for you this week.
It's not about a giant pierogi, is it?
No.
Oh.
What is the opposite of a scary ghost story?
Okay, opposite of a scary ghost story. A scary would be a not so scary.
Yes.
Ghost story would be a human.
No, it's still about a ghost.
So, what's a friendly ghost?
Yes, I have some wholesome Casper? Ghost. I have some wholesome ghost experiences for you guys this week.
Oh, really? See, this
so
is
this is like it's different.
Yeah, I like this. Like, because we always hear about the only friendly ghost. I only Casper.
Or you know, Grandma's baked bread smells, as I always talk about. But I have some list here, all from Reddit. I just picked out some of my favorite ones. Excuse me. And I'm just excited to be able to present these to you guys. It's different. Yes, I know Bob After Dark is about the spooky and the unusual and things that go bump in the night. And typically that all goes back to being terrifying.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just need to take a break and be like, you know what? The undead don't always have to be terrifying.
No.
Sometimes you just have wholesome stories.
I mean, they all can't be medicine ghosts, right?
Exactly. That's why we have what we got here.
Yeah.
So my first story comes to us from our ghosts. Do you ever visit Reddit, Count Panic?
Reddit. I hear Reddit is the place to go just for a lot of research. But
everything.
I don't go to Reddit in particularly. For
I anything, am a big Redditor.
You're a Redditor. Mm-hmm. You have a Reddit account. Are you on actively on the message boards of Reddit?
Bob After Dark does have a Reddit account. I don't do a ton with it. I don't have a subreddit for it yet. My private Reddits, though, I scour like retro video game subreddits and, you know, like voice acting stuff and podcasting and Twitch. But I go on there a lot for references.
But Reddit, for people that don't know, Reddit's a thing, a community of people that you can talk about
every
topic.
Every topic. Every topic in the world has its own subgenre in Reddit.
There's lots of fights, right?
There's a lot of, well, you have your political stuff and then you have some questionable stuff that's not, that there is a dark side to Reddit and you could just skip past that and go to the fun stuff. But like
fun
for you, I could probably go on there right now and find like Reddit Polish food and I would find a Polish food subreddit for
you. Yeah, I would love that.
But on Reddit, there's also paranormal subreddits, and obviously that's something I frequent often. All of everything from like cryptozoology, ghost stories, aliens, alternative religious practices, things like that.
A little bit of all.
So here's a couple I found from. Here's a post I found from 3 years ago by user Cleo1117, and it says, "Anyone have any wholesome ghost experiences?" So I'm going to read this one for you word to word, Count Panic, and you're going to give me your opinion on them. Okay.
Yeah.
So my family's house was built with an apartment specifically meant for my great grandma. She lived there for years before passing away from old age. After passing away, my family did a remodel and rebuilt the apartment to be part of the house, essentially making it into a TV room, dining room, and bathroom. Anyway, a few years back, my whole family went on vacation for a sibling's birthday. Parents, siblings, grandparents, everyone. I wasn't able to go because I was in my final year of college and I couldn't afford to miss my classes and internship hours. My mom is a clean freak and made sure to leave the house spotless before they left. I didn't spend any time in the dining room or TV room because I usually just watch TV and hang out in the kitchen or in my bedroom. One day I come into the TV room, which was previously my great grandma's bedroom prior to the remodel, and I see a handprint on the TV. I knew right away that this handprint was my great grandma's. The handprint was way too small to be mine or left over from anyone else in the family. Especially it being right in the middle of the TV screen, no one in my family would have placed their hand there. Also, in her old age, my great-grandma shrank a lot and was very small at the end. I decided to clean the handprint the following day. It was back. Then I knew for sure it was her. My family was away. I would walk into that room every day and know I wasn't alone. And when my family returned from vacation, the handprint was gone and didn't come back. My mom cried when I told her that story. Does anybody else have any wholesome ghost experiences?
Wow. Well, that's more of a, that's a wholesome one, Bob. That's not even like a friendly ghost just popping out of nowhere. That's just a wholesome experience as far as
I'm Don't find those very often.
No. And then why do you think there is a more so just a bad ghost? I shouldn't say bad ghost, but more menacing ghost than like friendly ghost stories. Maybe we just don't talk about it enough. We're talking about it here.
That's a good question.
People always want to hear scary ghost stories. Never.
It's
fun,
more entertaining. Never. I mean, this is entertaining, and it's because my fans are listening to it, right?
Yeah.
But it makes for a better story when things are flying across the wall. You know, it's more terrifying. There's a level of fear to it. But, you know, at the end of the day, sometimes paranormal experiences just smells of grandma, like I tell you guys all the time about my dad walking through the house. That's dad. He don't bother me none. Sometimes yeah. I gotta tell him to keep it down because he's waking me up at 3 o'clock in the morning. But that don't bother me any. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So why are there such a thing as like negative spirits? Sometimes they're not spirits of humans. There are things that hang out in low vibrational field that just kind of come and they terrorize things, whether you want to use the term demonic spirit or not. You have things like poltergeist activity, which is just really negatively charged energy. And sometimes the malevolent spirit is there because they were malevolent in life. Mm. Child killers, yeah. You know, very mean people make for really mean ghosts sometimes.
Yeah, and that's the thing, too. I mean, there's the situation with everything as far as the ghost living life beforehand. But it just seems like nobody ever gathers around the fireplace to tell a fun ghost story. It's always a spooky ghost story. All right, that's what we like, I guess.
I got another one. This one's from Mr. Did on the same post. I've got one. I'm a bit of a skeptic, so I completely see how people could call it powers of suggestion or coincidence, and that's fine. Anyway, so a friend of mine from high school got hit by a car and died many years ago. He was a track star in life, so every year the town had a road race and raised money for a scholarship in his name. It was kind and like a mini reunion every year for all my friends who scattered after high school. The route of the race is a loop, and near the beginning, then the end, you run by the cemetery where my friend is buried. So one year early on, the race was started by one of his relatives reading a poem she wrote. I forget most of it, but it talked about feeling the presence running beside you. Obviously, a nod to my friend being a runner and the race route, etc. Nothing happened that year, but the poem always stuck out to me, and I would think about it every time I ran by the cemetery. So now, I've never been a good long-distance runner and have knee problems, so the 5 miles of the road race would typically do me in, and I would always bring my own ice packs for after knowing I would be hurting by the time I finished the final stretch, which is where the cemetery is. Don't blame you. Couldn't even make it that far. So one year, I come down off the last hill and am in the flat part of the first half of the first three-quarter mile or so. I really start to feel some pain building behind my knee, and I know I can power through it, but it'll be tough. I start to pass the cemetery, and suddenly my whole body begins to tingle. Like I got goosebumps all over, but I can feel a really cool sensation on my bad knee, and it stopped hurting. I always felt a renewed burst of energy, so I powered through it and finished strong. But the whole time, I felt those tingles and renewed energy. Couldn't help but think of the poem and the feeling the presence beside me, and couldn't help but thinking it was my friend giving me a little bit of a push for the last bit of the race. Hmm. So yeah, like I said, could be powers of suggestion, but I like to think otherwise.
Yeah, no, for sure. I agree with that, Bob. I mean, the fact of the matter is you're influenced by a lot of things, but that one, it just seems like it's kind of a full kilt right there. But the power of positivity, even the paranormal. Positive paranormal. Trying to think of another P word. I'll figure it out. Happenings.
Yes. Yeah. Happenings.
Happenings.
It's paranormal. Positive paranormal.
Predicaments.
Predicaments. There you go. I like that.
Sure.
Here's another one from Reddit user HokeyMom0086. The day my dad was buried was filled with stress. After the funeral, friends and family were invited back to my parents' house. One sister's a troublemaker and caused issues that made everyone upset. She and her husband ended up leaving, but the damage was already done. Shortly after, my husband and I decided to leave too. When we got to our apartment a few towns away, my husband and I were sitting in our living room talking about my dad and what had transpired. I was very upset that my sister caused so much of a commotion when all of a sudden, I smelled my dad's Old Spice cologne. The entire room smelled of this and I began to cry. Wow. I looked at my husband and he said he could smell it too. At that moment, I knew my dad had come to the house to make sure I was okay. Just as soon as the smell, Old Spice smell, was in the room, it was gone. Never happened again, but I knew my dad was there. My dad never was a cologne guy, so I can't relate to that story as much, but that's a very common thing.
Smells.
Smells are a big paranormal, you know, happening trope. Commonly, if spirit was known to keep plants or things around or was a very positive feminine energy, you may smell roses post-death, fill in the blank. You got some of those things. Like, I always bring up the story of grandma's homemade bread in the kitchen when it hasn't been used.
Yeah.
That happens. Yeah. A lot. Those stories happen quite a bit.
That's the right thing. Like cigar smoke, right, or anything that could be that remind you of somebody that's it's just there out of nowhere.
Yep.
Cologne or perfume or whatnot. And there really is no science behind that, right? That's something that really can't be explained.
Nah, you could say it's matrixing like you were expecting it, but the fact that the husband smelled it too is definitely an interesting one, you know?
If it's one person smelling, it's pretty crazy and neat, but the two people smelling the same smell once that's not even there in the room, that's just something else. The thing is, you don't want to know somebody in the past life that wore like a offensive cologne or a bad smelling cologne, because then that would be, I guess that's still a nice memory though at the end of the day. But smells, Bob. I mean, what smell do you think you would give off if you're a ghost? Like maybe a Malort or something.
Malort, dark chocolate, PBR.
PBR smell. PBR smells distinct, right?
Yeah, it's a very distinct smell.
Well, I don't know what I would have. I'm trying to think about that. Foods-wise.
Pierogi.
Wow. Yeah, that's going to be me, right? Yeah. You're walking a room, Bob, when I'm gone.
Zweig beer.
You're going to smell like pierogi.
Sauerkraut.
That should be its own cologne series.
Yep. Yeah. the Jodge. Our dads would have wore the Jodge. Your dad will. My dad will not be wearing the Jodge, but your dad would 100%.
Smell like sauerkraut. Exactly. Yeah. Capusta.
All right, a couple more for you,
sure.
Kyle.
Yeah.
This one's from Mama Smash 5. When I was a teen in high school, my best friend and I were home alone at my house watching my little brother when my mom and stepdad were out one Friday night. We were in my room, which was the foremost part of the house. Literally the first part of our home you'd come up to would walk off the street. My brother was in our living room watching TV. I started to fall asleep in my bed watching a movie, but my friend shook me awake as my eyes opened. I saw my great grandmother who had passed away years prior. It was like the top half of her, like it was a bust of her, was coming through the purple curtains that hung slightly on top of a dresser in front of a big window. I saw her entire face and her smile. I was freaked out a while and I didn't say anything about what I saw, and I told my friend that we should go and sit with my brother. By then it was close to midnight and I was sure my mom would be back soon. We went to the couch with my bro, and within seconds, I saw headlights turn on our lonely street and knew they were back. Yet the lights had stopped short of the driveway and not continued for a few minutes, then finally they pulled in and came inside. They were on the phone with the police and both frantic because they turned onto our street. A man was at my window, that window. He was trying to look in or something when the headlights startled him and he took off across the street, basically running into their car through the neighbor's field and gone. Cops took a report and all of that. A few weeks later, he was arrested outside a home in a subdivision nearby doing the same thing. My guardian angel, my great-grandmother, who was my best friend as a child, came to rescue me, or at least got me out of the room, and I knew it. I saw her clear that as day. I hadn't been thinking about her or anything that would have made made her on my mind when she appeared. Don't care what others say. I know what I saw, and I think overall that is a wholesome ghost story.
That is a wholesome ghost story.
Sometimes you have those interesting moments where spirits will come back and give you a hand with something.
That's what you need sometimes in life. Even if it's not like a physical hand anymore, it's a spiritual hand, a guiding hand, dare I say. Now we're getting emotional here on the program, aren't we?
Yeah. But,
the thing is, the fact of the matter is, these are the positive ghost stories that the world needs to hear about, not the scary ghost stories, as entertaining as they could be. I think right now, more than ever, Bob, we need to hear more of these stories.
Yes.
But that was a wholesome one. It was kind of checking in on them. It wasn't.
Yep. Here's another one from Alligator Pie. I think we're going to
Alligator
do this.
Pie?
Yep. I think we're going to do this one, and we're going to call it a night.
Okay.
After my grandmother passed away, I brought some of her ashes home with me in a little baggie, of course, with the intent of buying a lovely urn to put them in and display somewhere. They sat in my kitchen for a couple of days, and I figured it was kind of irresponsible to leave human remains in plain sight in the main room of the house, so I decided to hide them in my room until I could figure out the perfect place to honor them. Yeah, that's a bit strange. Ashes about. Dad sits on an urn on the bookshelf next to where I stream, so I just kind of look over and I'll be like, oh, hey, Dad, what's going on? But I picked up the baggie and walked down the hall to my room. The moment passed through the doorway, I got a horrible sick feeling from head to toe, like every bone in my body was objecting. Like, it was reasoning, like, or telling me, nope. I turned right around, walked back to the kitchen, and the feeling completely disappeared. Suddenly, I realized Grandma was the very best cook I've ever known, and feeding her family brought her the greatest joy. Of course, she didn't want to be in the kitchen where. Of course, she'd want to be in the kitchen where she could supervise. I felt as though she was trying to make it very clear that I shouldn't move her anywhere else. I said, "Okay, I get it. You can stay in the kitchen if that's what makes you happy." And I tucked the ashes away in the cupboard above the fridge. They've since been placed in a lovely container, and the weird feeling has never returned. I'd like to think she's glad that I heard her request. Now, I always feel happy when I cook, and because she's right there with me, making sure that I'm doing my best.
That's nice.
A wholesome ghost stories, everybody.
So basically, she's checking to make sure the cooking is going.
Exactly. Now, see where my dad's at. He sits right into the view of where his chair was when he was alive.
Okay.
And he is right next to the kitchen to make sure everything's going on okay in the kitchen. He's got, like, the best viewpoint in the entire house. That's why I put him there. Plus, it's right next to his shrine of Pope John Paul II. Because Polish Catholic.
Gotta have.
Polish. Am I right, though? Polish gotta. Catholic? Gotta have the Pope John Paul Memorial something.
If you don't have either a picture or a photo or maybe a statue of Pope John Paul.
Oh, my dad had it all, buddy. He has like a 2-foot statue with a big old picture of him.
Signed 8x10.
He doesn't have any autographs. He does have a rosary blessed by Pope John Paul.
I don't know if the Popes, do Popes even give autographs? I don't think Popes give autographs, right?
I think you can take a picture with a Pope.
You can take a photo with a Pope, yeah.
Yeah, but see, here's the thing. We're at the point where, like, the silent generation where all the Popes came from are, like, you know, unfortunately getting up there in age, and we probably won't see another, you know, silent generation popes will get either boomer or like late Gen X. I think they're a little bit more hip to be squared when it comes to like an autograph or a picture. Or can you wait until the very first millennial pope will be a thing?
Yeah, it's gonna happen.
As long as the Catholic Church exists, they're always going to pick an old dude to be the pope.
Yeah, there's never
and
been
eventually
a young
pope. The old dude is going to be either Gen X, Millennial, or Gen Z. In our case, we won't probably see a Gen Z Pope, but we will see next Pope will either be Boomer or, you know, and by Boomer, I'm sorry, I mean, you know, baby Boomer.
Middle-aged
Yeah,
Pope.
And then Gen X.
Well,
anyway.
Gen X is middle-aged now, right? Yeah. Isn't it crazy? Millennial Pope, that could be a good TV show, the Millennial Pope.
Yes.
That's a thank the stuff. But for the Polish people, of course, we still believe that Pope John Paul II is the Pope to this very day.
If you ask of my dad up to the day he died, and keep in mind, dad's mind was not about him. He could tell you that Pope John Paul II was the best Pope he ever had in his life.
Do you have any Pope John Paul II's ghost stories?
I think that's not okay to tell Catholic ghost stories like that.
I don't know. I wonder if that ever happens. So like,
remind me to look into haunted churches or maybe if the Vatican's got ghost stories.
Oh, they got it though, right?
I'm sure.
They don't do, obviously they don't do tours there because usually
it's the Vatican. I don't think the Catholic Church is a big fan of paranormal. Yeah. We had Father Majna on here, but that's the extent of it.
I mean, but even their exorcisms, those stories are kind of tightly guarded as far as how many exorcisms actually go on and whatnot. Because I'm sure, we only know about exorcisms around here in the region because of the Gary house. Exactly. But, I mean, I would only assume that there's some stuff going on that we don't know about.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, right?
I would agree.
I would agree, too.
Do you have anything closing for the audience this evening?
Bob, no, great show. It's great to have a positive spin on
we needed, you know, as much as I've been in with, you know, much nonsense as I've been going through this year, which I'm overdue for some good news. So, you know, I want some good news. Thank you. I wanted a wholesome ghost story. I figured it was a good time to do one.
If there's no better time than the present, do a wholesome ghost story. So it's good to have one. And it makes you feel positive no matter what you believe in the paranormal or whatnot. Makes you feel good, but
absolutely,
Bob. Yeah, everybody, have a great week, Bob. Have safe travels.
Thank
and,
you.
That early morning flight.
Driving.
Yes,
just to Indianapolis, man.
But
By the time you board a plane, get on the plane, get off the plane, collect your baggage. Chicago to Indianapolis flight. It's easier just to drive it.
Yeah, but you got to be out at four.
Four.
You'll beat the Morning Rush, right?
That's the point.
that's the reason why.
Oh, that and our setup there. Starts early, and for Gen Con, you got to be there early. It's a whole thing.
And you're there for all
5 days. That's a big show. It's the biggest in the world for gaming. So I'll be doing live streams while I'm there, folks, doing different things. So check that out.
That should be fun, Bob.
Yep. All right, Kyle Panic, I'm going to get going. Do you have any last words of encouragement?
Words of encouragement? Yes, Bob. Everybody have a safe, continue on having a safe summer. Remember, the veil is thick now, but sooner than later,
it'll become thin again. Folks, thanks for watching and listening to another episode on Bob After Dark. I just want to wish my mom sweet dreams, and to my dad, wherever you are in the universe, I hope you're happy, comfortable doing whatever it is that you want to be doing. And a tip, no matter where you are in the world, I hope you have the sweetest dreams in the mall. Good night, everybody. Remember, the two most important rules of Bob After Dark are not all who wander are lost, and as above, so below. Until next time.
Memoriam Development.